Good morning. Thanks, Gary, and appreciate Eric organizing this session, allowing me the opportunity to present it. I use the word bright. As was just mentioned, the last one, serious crises sometimes in some places, actually a case study I'm going to talk about is Missouri, University of Missouri, is perhaps elimination of soil science programs. But, of course, big challenges like that actually create sometimes innovative thinking. And so I'm going to talk about the case study, and actually we have some bright news relative to this. Because this is a historic session here, I wanted to talk about, interestingly, the early presidents of the soil science at America. It's interesting, when I looked at the records, six of the first 12 presidents started their careers at the University of Missouri. And that's why it's in the contrast of a few years ago removing that program, the deep roots, very significant historical roots. I'm going to talk about each of these individuals briefly. I recognize University of Missouri Archives, University of Nebraska Archives. One of them moved to that institution. Also, I want to recognize the late Dr. Bob Miller, who just passed away this past spring. He shared a few stories relative to some of these individuals because he grew up in Columbia, was a son of Meredith Miller. And again, I'm going to talk about environmental science degrees. A lot of us have emphasis areas, but we're recognized now as the environmental science program in our department for the University of Missouri, big 32,000 undergraduate enrollment institution. Talk about what all administrators like to see, unfortunately, is undergraduate enrollment levels. I'm going to talk about some positives and then an impact on soil science. These are the pictures that appeared with your presentation, but I'm going to show some other archive photos. As many of you know, Richard Bradfield was the first president. He started as a subunit in American Society of Agronomy, and then he actually spent 10 years at the University of Missouri, his first part of his career after his PhD, and then went a brief period at Ohio State University and then at Cornell University for many years. William A. Albrecht was the third president. He spent, after his PhD, all of his career at the University of Missouri. Leonard Baver, interestingly, you notice it's a two-year period here for this one because I think it was during the war years associated. He had his PhD from under Richard Bradfield and then stayed at the University of Missouri after Richard Bradfield left. C. Edmund Marshall, some of these people actually were leaving because of the dire times of the 1930s. If you think about economic challenges now, they were very severe in that time period. C. Edmund Marshall actually came, it was worse in England, and he came to University of Missouri and spent the majority of his career there. Frank Dooley, very significant in soil conservation efforts. And then Hans Jenny, was mentioned earlier in the presentations, came from Switzerland and then began his career at the University of Missouri and went to University of California, Berkeley, where he served as president. Just a brief story with Richard Bradfield. Again, attribute these to the late Dr. Bob Miller. I mentioned all of these individuals were hired by Meredith Miller, who was the father of Ed and Bob Miller. Ed Miller was late a professor at University of Wisconsin in soil physics, and also Bob Miller was professor of soil physics at Cornell. He has told the story that in Missouri, central part of the United States, just north of Columbia, which is the middle of the state, we deal with a lot of complex clay pan type soils. This is a soil that has a silt loam surface soil, but in the subsoil, very significant cementitic materials. The idea was, and Bob remembered this story, he's about 5 years old when he went up there in Moberly, just north of Columbia. They had this big steam tractor, and they were trying to basically improve the permeability of these soils, and they were trying to add some chemicals to it. As he shared the story, it was basically lime. They buried the lime. They went back about 20 years later. Interestingly, that lime had never reacted. So we're still dealing with the complexities of that cementitic material. He went on, was president of American Society of Agronomy, also was the president very significant time in World Congress in the late 50s, and he's an honorary member of both SSSA and the International Union of Soil Science. And Richard Bradfield spent a significant impact on international programs related to soil science. William Albrecht was the third president, and again, fortunately, we have a young picture of him just after his PhD when he came to Columbia, and then another older picture, soil microbiology. Interestingly, the University of Missouri, even though we have this really rich history on staff, we currently don't have a soil microbiologist. Fortunately, we have one from the USDA ARS, and so we were able to continue offering that program. But he spent very significant years. There's still a significant following with First Acres of his concept of a balanced soil. Leonard Baber, some of you may remember, this was the soil physics text that was used. He basically did four editions of this, and Wiley still has it in the sixth edition with Bill Jury and Bob Horton as authors on that. Obviously, it was also an international member. Remember, he received his PhD, and notice he stayed on the faculty right after Richard Bradfield left and for 7 years, and then served as president from North Carolina State University. C.M.M. Marshall, soil chemist, served on the faculty again 40 years. This is after a brief period on the faculty in England. Very recognized in the Clay Mineral Society and had a lot of impact in that arena. This is a little story, for the latter part of this talk. I'm going to talk about undergraduates. The impact of an undergraduate that came to Meredith Miller on a problem. He wanted to do an undergraduate problem, and the idea was they were going to look at how many nutrients were coming off in the runoff water. The big problem was they had more sediments being lost, and this was an interesting new concept there. And so the undergraduate student kind of stimulated this research. Frank Dooley, he did a master's degree right after this, and so they started doing the original erosion plots around the University of Missouri campus, and this is what developed the universal soil loss equation. So I emphasize sometimes the really great people, good undergraduates with great ideas, can sometimes stimulate significant research ideas in the future. He again went to Wisconsin for his PhD, came back, served on the faculty briefly, was at Kansas State University, and then at University of Nebraska for when he served as president. Interestingly, he's also recognized by the Engineering Society for a very significant innovation of the sweep plow back in the 1930s. And these are, we still have them on campus, the original erosion plots from the U.S., but they're slated to have a medical building on top of these in a few years. So a few years ago we thought it was gone, but there's been some issues with stem cell research and things, so it's been delayed briefly. And the last of these six, Hans Jenny, mentioned earlier, very significant player. This is a young photo when he was on the faculty at University of Missouri. A little story that Bob Miller shared with me. He was single at the time when he came, and he met a Swiss nurse. He was from Switzerland, remember, and he met a Swiss nurse, and they had their the wedding ceremony in Meredith Miller's home, and Bob Miller remembered that experience, shared that with us. Again, served about 9 years at University of Missouri before he went to University of California, Berkeley, and again, a very significant player in the history of soil science. So let's now talk about undergraduate education. Obviously, rich history teaching. If you notice the lack of diversity in this photo from the 1940s, classes now are very predominant, much more diverse than we had in that time period. So the challenge we had in just a few years ago was, there's some other complexities to that, but one of the issues is undergraduate enrollment. You just don't have sufficient numbers, so why do we want to continue that program? And you can understand administrators are looking at that serious concern. So how to deal with that? Well, we'd attempted ever since I was there, even before, to try to capture an environmental science curriculum. But every time those go up to faculty, there's a big fight over who gets to control and define what environmental science is. Very unique opportunity. We could declare an emphasis area. It was easier to get that at that moment, which is unusual always, and they usually kind of restrict sometimes creation of new opportunities. But we were able to capture that. It was an emphasis area, but we're under a school of natural resources, and so the students really believe it's truly an environmental science degree. So let me mention some of the things we developed for this. Obviously, we want to develop and train students for opportunities in applied positions, environmental, which could, of course, be soil. Provide each of these students have to do an internship. And so, again, many of them will do an internship, a research opportunity with soil science professors. And, of course, we want to have an active engagement in environmental extracurricular activities. The Environmental Science Club has been very competitive on campus, achieving one of the top competitions for cash prizes on campus associated with this. Just a little bit on the curriculum. Again, this is kind of a, you know, case-specific study for University of Missouri, but very heavy on the science requirements. A lot of students from high school want to study environmental science, don't really realize, of course, it is science, and so we are going to have them take chemistry, physics, calculus, and biology, and we get a wide variety of people, but some of them are very, very bright students. In the departmental requirements, all of these students have to take soil science. So they have to take that introductory soil science. Of course, once they take that soil science course, they discover that soil science is a wonderful potential field and potential career for them. And so I think this is a great way to capture young minds, really brilliant people, and potentially into soil science. Now, to kind of give some specificity to the environmental science, we've created three tracks: water quality, land use management. You can imagine that's very heavy into soil science. And if students come out of this, they can be qualified to fulfill federal positions, which I'll mention a couple here in a minute. And because we're associated with an atmospheric science program, we also have an air quality component with this as well. We have a small faculty, okay? We probably experienced probably a 30% plus decrease in the last 20 years. So again, this has meant that each of the faculty members has to step up and teach extra courses beyond their soil science, which we have an excellent faculty that's done this. So Introduction to Environmental Science is taught by soil science professors. Of course, it's not just, has little glimpses of soil science in there. We've had a soils and the environment course right that predated this briefly. Environmental Land Use Management is another new course that talks about soil conservation. Environmental chemist, environmental physics person teaches a pollutant fate and transport. And then the hydrologic and water quality modeling with GIS is co-taught with an engineer and a soil scientist. So this is speaks very well of the faculty willing to teach more classes to adapt to these students. But of course, as they meet these professors, they're interested in soil science. They all of a sudden realize they put a human face with it. They come in and they think this is a very fascinating field, as many of us know. Just to mention again, all of them are required to do an internship, which of course can be with a federal state agency, private industry, or research programs often associated with some of our soil science professors. Soil judging teams, very, very important. We have about a handful of soil science majors. We can't have enough to actually field a team. So these environmental science students actually join the soil judging team, which is again another activity. The young lady in the orange, she was an environmental science student, now works for NRCS. The young man in blue, he basically continued on, he's an environmental science student, continued on and was won a poster award last year at these meetings, and it's at the meetings again this year. I've had the privilege of advising some of these students. One that I didn't advise was actually Phi Beta Kappa, joint with Arts and Science. Very, very top students, some of these. Another young lady received a full ride scholarship this fall to law school. We're not going to have to convince these people when they come out that soil science is important. Okay? Just look at the numbers. Don't worry about the regression line. It interestingly fits. We have about, when we came into the School of Natural Resources, like over here, we had about 25 to 30 students, a handful of soil science, the rest of them atmospheric science. Up until 2004, predominant growth in atmospheric science students. Okay, nice to have these numbers. Subsequent to about 2004, all of this growth has been due to environmental science. We have about 65 students in the program now. Obviously a wide variety, but we're advising a lot of students that are undergraduates that may feed go in the future of soil science. This was a couple of years ago. I did a little survey of how much of an impact it's had in our soil science courses. I thought it was about 30% increase, again, with just a handful of soil science. So a huge increase in our environmental science students partaking, taking courses in soil science. And they're taking beyond the introductory soil science because, obviously, they become intrigued with this field. And as we mentioned, the soil judging team is associated with that. This began in 2004, a very crisis mode, where they're going to keep soil science, and then we added these five new courses to help that, and then obviously we've gone over 60 students. I think, again, we'd love to have them come into soil science, but a lot of high school students are not going to come in to a program of soil science unless they know someone. So I think this is obviously a future for us. Anyway, thanks very much.